All right, it is episode 3, Keenan Womack, Eric Henry, false start, baby.
How's my audio sound today? Sound a little better?
Audio sounds a little better. Did you get that mic? You got that
mic? I got it figured out, yeah. It seems to be working better today.
Before I dive into the agenda, got to peep some of the comments here. And I see CB talking about Isaiah Thompson, coach at FIU. That's a hilarious story. The AD at FIU, excuse me, one of the people in the university front office mixed up Isaiah Thomas for Isaiah Thompson. So that is where that reference is. What's going on, everyone rocking with us? Sleeves are always optional. Yes. Hey, Keenan, as you know, when this cuts into my gym schedule, we're going to kind of multitask here, all right? So I'm going to go right from here to the gym, hence the no sleeves. But my man, how are you doing? Day 3 together.
Dude, I'm so good. I feel like with all the muscles, our viewership's gonna like double, dude. We're gonna have a bunch of new women listeners now because of the gun show, dude.
Listen, Texas Sports Unfiltered, BK, Brad Kellner, appreciate you giving us the opportunity. If I can bring in a different demographic, then I just feel like that's just truly earning my paycheck. It's definitely a demographic that, no disrespect to my Horns 24/7 teammates, Jeff Howe nor Chip Brown are going to bring in, right? Like, and that's stated. That's cool. So I'll just put that one on the record for both of my guys there, and they can bust my balls probably in the group text.
Damn, I was not expecting that. Those stray shots.
Oh, listen, anytime I could take it. You know, so I did it after they're off air because Jeff was going to take a cheap shot and he forgot it, right? So
he should have had his one. Damn it, I was going to get you guys, dude.
He should have had his locked and loaded. But, hey, like I said, episode 3, day 3, false start. And I just want to kind of start, no pun intended, I realize I never told the story of how the name False Start came about, Keenan.
Yeah.
You don't even know this story, how False Start came about. So for the listeners at home, you might have seen that on Monday we tried to do a promo for the show, right, on BK and Bucky in the morning. And Keenan, my man, was getting a little extra sleep. You know, he had taken some NyQuil. I'll let him tell the story. And Keenan was nowhere to be found for the promo segment with BK and Bucky. So we were kind of just riffing on air, and BK was trying to stall, thinking that Keenan might, you know, see the text late and come on. And I was like, hey, you know, we eventually talked the fact we don't have a name. So I was like, hey, you know, what might be a good name is False Start. And
that's how it came to be.
We got solid feedback right there on the show. And that's how we ended up being False Start, Keenan. So you're all good that, you know, technically you are kind of the reason why we are False Start.
It's good that my incompetence can be of use occasionally.
Oh, man. All right. We're going to go ahead and jump into some things here, you know, kind of news of the day. Big news, of course, NFL draft. We'll touch on that. Definitely want to touch on the fact there's another defensive back in the portal, Austin Jordan. Want to kind of explore that a little bit. And of course, Jordan Pope, we talked about the last 2 days. Now he finally is in, has committed to Texas. So I'm going to allow Keenan to kind of do his thing there. But yeah, let's start off with, you know, the fact that Austin Jordan did choose to enter the portal, someone who made 11 tackles in his 2 seasons with the Longhorns. And Keenan, before I kind of go deep dive football, just your overall thoughts. And I have a couple follow-up questions, just your thoughts on the portal in general. But yeah, I mean, when you saw the news that Texas was losing another defensive back, kind of, you know, what crossed your brain and what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, not great, Bob. Typically losing guys in the portal is bad in general, but when it's 2 guys at probably
so you see that I had to throw that one up here. Not mad at that one either, Rex. Not mad at that one.
It's so funny. Everybody thinks I'm like this star. It's like I'm not at all. But yeah, no, it's literally, what were we talking about? That message just got in my head. It was so
funny. Austin Jordan.
Yeah. So when you have 2 guys enter the portal, like back to back, was it back to back days or was it 2 and 3 days? Either way. Well, alarm bells sort of start going off, right? Like maybe not anything too crazy. You don't need to panic, but like, that's not a great sign. I mean, they were already in the market to find another guy. Now they're going to have like 2, maybe 3, you know. I don't know where Austin Jordan was on the depth chart. You'll probably understand that better than I would, and you'll have to explain that. But, yeah, I mean, it's just never what you want. You never want to hear multiple guys at the same position bouncing, especially at that position, man. Like, that was the issue last year, really, was their defensive backfield stats were not good in a lot of ways. And to have a slotted starter at Brooks to leave, and then to have Jordan leave too. I think Jordan was a 4-star or something, right? Out of high school or high three.
Yeah.
So that's like talent out the door, you know, it's never good. But I think we got to take a look at this defensive backfield situation and see, is there a problem going on? Like, is there just not as a change to be made, need to be made right now or anything like that? Nothing drastic, but maybe like, let's look at it. Let's see, is there an improvement that can be made?
Something that I've noticed in my short time here with the Texas fan base, Keenan, is there is usually in, I don't know how large it is. So I'm going to call it a vocal minority. Mm-hmm. That I've seen, whether it's on Twitter or on our 24/7 boards, that always kind of want either a former Texas assistant or former Texas player from quote unquote like glory years to be added on the staff. And granted, I don't think that's unique to Texas, because I mean, even when I was covering, you know, Group of Five football, I was like, why isn't T.Y. Hilton on? I'm like, okay, T.Y. Hilton's right. Not gonna, he's a rich, he's not gonna spend his time, you know, out there chasing, you know, kids at FIU, even though it is alma mater, right? Like, not what he necessarily wants to do with his time.
Sure.
I've seen people say, why isn't Rod Babers part of this staff, former Texas defensive back, right? Or even when Dwayne Aquina, it was reported that he was going to join the staff, right? And he had to come out and say, hey, you know, guys, I'm staying where I'm at, so on and so forth. There's always this pining for certain guys, right? Like, and I'm not mad at it, because I understand it. But where I'm going with that is this. I've seen a lot of chatter saying, hey, you know, Terry Joseph needs to be replaced, or why are we not bringing in insert person, or why isn't Michael Huff doing more with the defensive backs? Like, there's got to be a give and take that, right? Like, Sark, I think based on what you've seen from three seasons of Steve Sarkisian, he's earned enough of a leeway, enough of a right to be like, hey, these are the guys I'm going to go with. And they've produced well. Now, I think there is a question, right? And to be fair, I don't know how far you want to go with the sample size, but if you're talking about the development of players, and where I think it gets a little bit tricky is, I think you're comparing development across positions, and I don't think that's not how I would do it. I would go development as a team, right? Like, because it varies in my opinion. So I'm saying all that to say, in relation to the Terrence Brooks and now Austin Jordan departures, seemingly they have a way that they want to remake the secondary, right? Like, Andrew Makuba came in from Clemson.
Yeah.
They were able to get Xavier Filsimi, which was a really huge, you know, steal from Florida, right? And look, I actually commend Steve Sarkisian and company for going to Terrence Brooks. I'm assuming they had the same conversation with Austin Jordan and saying, hey, post-spring, this is what we kind of see and what we envision in terms of our secondary and our roster, and this is where you fit. And by all means, enter the portal. We'd rather have you do that now as opposed to you show up in fall camp and you're looking, it's like, oh, man, my name is not necessarily where I'd like it to be. The last point I'll make, and listen, if – I hope, you know, listeners don't get too fed up with me making this point, because I'll probably make it 20 more times before fall camp starts. It does seem like they have a plan for the Jahdae Barron, Jalen Gilbo, star nickel slot cornerback spot, right? And as I said yesterday, in my opinion, I think Jahdae is he's so valuable at star and what they ask of that position, that I wouldn't tinker with moving him outside if he's not playing, giving you that type of level production on the outside, right? But Sark, again, this is just my POV. We'll see what happens. Based off of last year's success and kind of the moves they were able to make, I'm going to put my trust in him if I were a Texas fan. And let's see what that looks like. Let's give it a fall camp and then see what that looks like. Now, with the departure of Austin Jordan, like, I think they have to go to the portal. I think just for depth purposes, they're going to have to pick up another defensive back. But we'll see what that looks like. I'm going to pass it back to you for another thought, but I want to throw Chris Bennett's comment on here. It says, a lot of Texas fans have never forgiven Blake Gideon for 08 Texas Tech and will never forgive him. I'm one of the few that don't blame him for that loss. Keenan, while I wasn't here for that, obviously, I have heard plenty of stories about that one. Do you recall that one?
Yeah, man. I was, I think I was a freshman in high school. I think it was 08 or something. Yeah, I think it was 08 because I remember because I grew up like a Texas fan. My parents went to Texas. Like I was like a diehard my whole life. And like all I wanted was to go to UT and then I somehow got in. Now I cover them. It's pretty weird, actually. But yeah, that loss is of all of the losses I can remember in my entire lifetime. That's easily a top five most painful one. Like easily.
Is that the Crabtree one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So
the other. Ooh, that's a good question though. Like, what are the? There's only one other one I can really think of that's like really stung. I was at Texas OU in 2022.
That's the Caleb Williams.
The Caleb Williams game. Yeah. I was at that. It like me and my wonderful wife, God bless her, we were just like exhausted and sunburned and just like walking home, just like in a terrible mood.
Yo, before the transition, because I'm gonna, you know, toss it to you and get your thoughts on Jordan Pope and
yeah, sorry.
Reach you this. No, you're good. You're good. Just okay. Curious. How did you meet your wife?
Through Greek life. I mean, it was like in college, but it was like right after college. And yeah, she's in the other room working. She's awesome. She's the best. Shouts out Caroline.
We got this one. Do you remember?
Yeah, Cole getting hurt is the worst for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely the worst.
So Texas, it's official. We've talked about it for a couple of days. They land Jordan Pope. We've talked a lot about what Jordan Pope brings and this, that, and the other. I want to spin it forward. Now that they have Jordan Pope, just as this roster is constituted now, what are kind of your expectations for this team entering the SEC?
Yeah, so I think this is a good question. I was talking to some, I talked about this a little bit yesterday, I think too, but I am in a like a Twitter chat with a bunch of scouts who like, or there's some of them are agents, some of them are scouts, some of them are like in recruiting or developing or whatever. So it's pretty, sorry, I'm getting cold. Yeah. So what they've been saying is the SEC, there's like two or three teams that are probably at the top, right? You got Tennessee, who picked up Felix Okpara today. That guy's awesome. That guy's a badass forward. So they got him today. They have Alabama. Alabama's going to be good again, especially if they get Sears back. If Sears comes back, I mean, they're, you know, top five team, top 10 team. And if they get Grant back and some of the guys they're bringing in, they brought in Aiden Holloway from Auburn. I mean, they're going to be sick. Auburn's going to be good. They're bringing in Todd Pettiford, bringing Jani Broome back. So Auburn's going to be legit. Florida's legit. They got some really good transfers, some transfer pieces. Pegues went to Auburn. He's pretty good. So SEC's no joke, man. You know, people always say the Big 12 is the scariest conference, and it is. The Big 12 is the toughest conference, especially with adding Houston in. It's like you can't deny. SEC is right there at second. All right, it's them, and I mean the ACC is up and down. The Big East is probably second, but the SEC is probably third. So it's a bit of a step down, but I don't think it's the step down that everybody's assuming it's going to be. This like, oh, Texas is going to, you know, cakewalk to the SEC. That is not how it's going to go, man. Like, Tennessee's legit. Auburn, Alabama, Florida are all legit. And then you don't even know Kentucky and Arkansas. You know? Really? Like, both of them could be great. They could both suck. I don't know. I don't think they'll suck, especially if Arkansas lands Nelly Davis out of Florida Atlantic. That would be...
Oh, listen. Listen, I'm going to throw a couple comments on here and then toss it back to you.
Yeah.
Jake said Struch is saying Texas versus Ole Miss conference championship game. I know he's talking about football, so I just want to say this right now. If Lane Kiffin gets Ole Miss in the conference championship game, I would be flipping stunned. That's just want to acknowledge that comment right here and throw this one out at you. Rob says Big East.
Yeah, I said Big East is second best after the Big 12. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
It's Big East, Big 12, SEC is like the order, I would say. Yeah, no, the Big East is definitely second. It's the best at the top because, I mean, UConn, but like also Creighton, Marquette. I mean, dude, so many NBA players came out of the Big East last year.
Yeah.
I mean, like you look at UConn, they have like four dudes that are going to play in the NBA on that team, you know, and Marquette has three dudes that could go in the first round, possibly. They're like back end first round guys, but yeah, man, I mean, the Big East is packed. with talent. So I'd say they're probably second. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. You know, interesting that you talk about just kind of the talent level of the Big East and guys, you know, going to the draft. I think you were of the opinion that there really weren't any surefire NBA guys on last year's roster, right?
No, the closest thing. Well, Dylan Dessou will play in the NBA, I think, actually.
You believe that? Okay.
Yeah, I do. I think he's such a good shooter that he's just going to find a play. He won't be like a star maybe, but he's absolutely good enough. He's a good enough. I've talked to several scouts, unbiased sources, and they've all told me, every single one of them was like, yeah, he's got a role in the NBA. Sort of similar to like Serge Ibaka Rice last year, you know? Like Dylan Dessou will probably be a two-way guy. I think he will be. I mean, he shot the lights out, man. He's a fantastic stretch four, you know? And like he's a little limited athletically, but like other than that, man, he's a smart player. He's got a good attitude. He shoots the ball, shoots hell out of the ball. I think he's an NBA guy. Dylan Mitchell could be, maybe, but yeah, I don't know about anybody else.
So then flip into this year's roster. And I think, you know, I'm going to ask you a question and also kind of transition here. Do you see, how do you assess the talent level on this team? However you want to take that question, whether it's, you know, at the college level or NBA, how do you assess the talent level on this roster? And then I know you took the time to kind of say, you know, hey, Texas still has room to add players on their roster. Who are kind of some of your guys that you think like would be dream scenario they could add versus maybe some guys that they're targeting you think to really complete this roster? I'll let you kind of take whichever order you want to take those in.
Yeah, I want to answer one question and then I'll get to that. Jake Bayless is talking about net averages. So basically the net average has been learned. The people have learned how to game the system with the net. So it's not really a great, it's like good for like a couple of things, but it's not really good as an overall aggregate of like player talent or team ability or anything. So the net has sort of fallen to the wayside as far as like effectiveness overall. But like, I do understand. And you said that is wrong, which I agree with. I don't think the Big Ten is the second best conference either, but yeah, it's the net is sort of a weird thing that's been gamed. Sorry though, but back to Texas transfers, guys I like. I really like Trezavian. Oh my God, I have his name pulled up. He played for UNC Wilmington. Trezarian White played for UNC Wilmington last year and was just, I mean, averaged like 19 points a game, like just like a stud. Seven rebounds and 20 points a game, 1.5 assists, 49% from the field. Like, he's a baller. And interestingly enough, pretty sure, I can't totally confirm this, but everything I've said says that he was teammates with Kendall Weaver in high school. They're both Mansfield guys from the same age range. And I think they both went to Timberview. I can't find a roster with both of their names on it, but I feel like they have to at least know each other. So maybe there's some sort of connection there. They dropped the list of people who have already reached out to White, and Texas isn't on there, but it's very early. You know, only like 6 or 7 teams have reached out so far. One of them being Texas Tech, the other being Arkansas. I'm hearing Arkansas is probably the leader in the clubhouse at the moment, but they can't get everybody. Like, they have 15 spots, you know what I mean? So, and we'll see how, I mean, last year I thought Arkansas was going to be amazing with all the transfers they brought in, and they were like one of the worst teams in the SEC. So you never know. But another guy that just entered this morning that I really like is Wuga Poplar from Miami. These are all like dudes from Florida, man. You got to love these guys, dude. Yeah. So I think he's actually from like Philly or something though. But he is a sort of a wing off guard, sort of like big guard that just shoots the hell out of the ball. He's just a great, great jump shooter. Shot like 87% from the free throw line last year, like 39% from three or something on like real volume. There's no ties really to him for Texas, but like I just really wanted to talk about him because he entered this morning right before the show started, and I was like, I gotta talk about this guy. He's like one of my like draft darlings, like just a guy I really like. Who I think would get drafted if he came out this year in the second round. I really do. But considering this is a very weak draft, we'll get into that at some other point. But yeah, man, I'm not sure exactly who's next. I think that they have to get a forward, though. They have to get another forward, and they got to get a center. Maybe two centers. I don't know. Because, like, again, we talked about Shedrick, and the thing that worries me about Shedrick is I was talking about his physicality yesterday, and I neglected to mention recklessly that injuries are a massive part of why he struggles with physicality. His back and shoulder are jacked up, man. Like, you don't, it's hard to play physical basketball when your back hurts, man. If anybody, any of you guys ever played pickup, you know, like a back spasm, like you can't run around and like shoot the ball and defend at a high level, you know? So I don't know. I really like the job RT's done in the portal so far, but the job is not done. Really needs to, but I mean, guys are entering every day. The Moody Center's awesome. He's got the freaking riverboat. I mean, come on. Who's going to get on the riverboat and not want to stick around for that?
RT has been using the riverboat as like between that and was it Matt's El Rancho? Is that the spots to seal for some of these guys? Before I give my
thoughts. There's some other details that I can't talk about actually because I'll get yelled at. But there's some other things he does that are like his special sauce, and he's a damn good recruiter, man. He really is like just like really good at relationships and people, and it's just he's a great recruiter, man. I think he's a pretty good ambassador for the program at this point. I mean, this is kind of the rubber match here. Matt's El Rancho is meh. Oh man, come on, dude.
Now listen really quick. I'm gonna come back to that. I want to make sure to shout out a couple people here rocking with us. Mark, hey, hook him to the false start, guys. Appreciate you rocking with us. Mark, Scott, false start is legit. Again,
thanks, man. Hell yeah. We appreciate it.
And acknowledging what you just said. Double D.
Come on, bro. It's a classic. It's a classic spot. It's so fun. It's more about the atmosphere than anything, bro. It's just, you're having a good time for a Matt's El Rancho. Come on now.
Do you know what's been very frustrating about, and I'm going to come back to the Rodney Terry thing in a second.
Yeah, yeah.
What's been frustrating about me still being a newbie to Austin? I cannot find consensus on anything. I can't find consensus on, because as I've said, and I've said this on Filling In with Jeff, haven't really had knock my socks off barbecue yet. Everyone tells me Terry Black's is the spot that I eventually got to try. But see, like even you, you're like,
I think there are better spots. It's good, but like Franklin's is better. La Barbecue is better on Second, or I think it's on Second Street, something like that. La Barbecue, maybe it's on First. It's right around where I live. So
as someone who's been here a while, is it because the two things I'm trying to get consensus on are Mexican and barbecue, right? Two things that I'm not getting a ton of back home in Florida. Mm-hmm. Is it because there's so many spots that you can't get a consensus? Because that worries me when like I can't say, hey, Matt's El Rancho, and I got, you know, shout out Christina, of course, who does a great job covering us.
She's the best.
She's like, yo, Matt's El Rancho, awesome. And then we got my man Double D saying it's meh. So, like, is it because there's so many spots why I can't get a consensus?
I think also, like, here's a spot I can give anybody, and I've never had anybody not like it, is El Alma. That place is incredible. It's like a combination of Tex-Mex and interior Mexican. It's like sort of both, but it's also tricked up. They make this taco that's like duck and pineapple and like salt and this like salsa. It's, oh my god, I'm gonna go there today, dude. It's so good. Yeah, you gotta try El Alma. Anybody in the comments who hasn't been there, definitely give it a shot.
Double D says head show El Mexico, familiar?
Love barbecue, best BBQ in Austin. That's my guy, Magic Man ATX. That's my guy.
That's
my man knows ball.
And see, I haven't even heard of that spot. So that's wild. Shout out to CB, of course, up there in the Pacific Northwest saying, you say that now, you don't have it anymore, but you miss his Texas barbecue and Mexican food. All right. I'm going to bring it back to Rodney Terry.
Yeah, I agree with
everything. Oh, listen, we're good. Hey, dude, it's the off-season football.
Food talk, baby.
Off-season basketball. We're going to fill the time with a lot of stuff. So, hope for y'all rocking with us, just know we're going to bounce around a bit. But no, I agree with you when it comes to Rodney Terry in the sense of he's seemingly is such a great relationship builder, and you know people really flock to that. I think that's great to have because he's going to attract talent to Texas. And Keenan, I haven't said this on the show, but we kind of talked about the UCF incident, right? The horns down thing.
Yeah,
I think it was the first show. This is the one thing I think is very apparent about Rodney Terry. That guy has a tremendous amount of pride in the University of Texas. Like that, that shows, right? And even though he went to St. Ed's, I think it's clear when he talked about, man, I wish we could have gotten a chance to play over at, to play against Texas over at the Frank Irwin Center.
Yeah.
At the Drum when they scheduled St. Ed's, right? And clear, like he is I know RT, if memory serves me correct, is from, is it the Houston area where he's originally from?
RT?
Yeah.
I can't remember where he's from.
I know it's a small guess. I'll probably correct myself while we're on here. But that dude takes a lot of pride in.
Drop it in the comments, y'all. Where's Ronnie Terry from?
In Central Texas, right? So I think that comes across really well. And just to spin it back to the conversation in terms of the expectations, this is my thing. Texas, obviously, football school, and coming from Florida, I been around Florida State, Miami, Florida. Those are football schools first that have had success. Obviously, the Gators winning back-to-back national titles in their era. Obviously had a lot of success, right? But my thing is this. When the resources are put in place for you to have success, then the standard is set, right? And that's where I go spinning it forward into next year in the SEC. Anything less than I think a top three, top four finish, and we'll see where the rest of the roster shakes out. But a team that doesn't get out of that first weekend, a team that gets out of that first weekend, excuse me, like that, I think should be the standard with basketball.
Definitely, but it hasn't been for. I mean, if you think about it, you know, they've made it out of the first weekend. Let me think, man. They did it 2 years ago, and then before that, they hadn't done it since I think 2008 or 2010. I think it was 2010. They've only made it past the first weekend like 5-6 times in the last 20 years. Like it's not common, which sucks. But they had that shocker run where they didn't win. Not only did they not make it out of the first weekend, they didn't win a tournament game,
which is wild.
8 seasons, dude. Wow. They made the tournament 3 times and were 0-3, bro. 08, okay, it was 08. That was the last time. That was the was it the Corey Joseph, Tristan Thompson team? Probably. The standard should be higher. You would think it is with the resources, especially, man, and I say this all the time, the DFW area is the best basketball area in the country. It produces the most, absolutely. I will die on that hill, dude.
Okay.
I'll pull up the list and I'll tweet it out today.
Yeah.
Literally, for the last 5 years, it's like Ron Holland, Anthony Black, Dink Pate, Max Asemus, let's see, Keontae George. Let's see if I can do this off the dome, dude. This is crazy. Kaysen Wallace, Rylan Griffin, Jacoby Walter. This is the last 3-4 years, dude.
Yeah.
What's his name? Alex Anemekwe, who plays for Texas.
Yeah.
I already said County Jordan. Artario Morris, I know stuff happened, but he's from Dallas too. Like, they just produced Trey Johnson coming in this year. He's from Dallas too. What's his name? The dude who played a lot of them transferred to other schools. Jalen Tyson, he's from Dallas. Liam McNeely in this upcoming class, he's from Dallas. Like, there are so many monster talents. And this is like the first real one that Texas has gotten is Trey. I mean, they had Ron Holland and then he bounced and went to Ignite, but Ignite is no more, right? So there is also, I should probably mention this, there is like a bit of a rumor going around. So the head coach at Link Prep is going to Baylor, right? And that's where Trey played high school ball. So people are saying flip watch, but I have not heard that he's going to flip at all. So don't panic yet. And best menu item at Matt's. I like the beef enchiladas, man. I mean, that's just a classic. Cheese enchiladas, beef enchiladas, whatever. Bob Armstrong dip. And Bob Armstrong dip is very good too.
I was just gonna say really quick, just to kind of circle back on the RT thing.
Yeah, sorry.
No, you're good. You're good, man. He's it is the Houston area. It's south of Houston.
Okay, Angleton is. Okay, yeah. I was gonna ask you where Angleton was. I didn't know much about it.
South of Houston.
I know. It's that it's just like it's kind of embarrassing how few of these guys Freudian slip. How few of these guys end up going to Texas from the DFW area.
I do want to ask you this because I definitely want to save some room to come back to football with the NFL draft to close up the show. But, man, what are your overall thoughts on the transfer portal? I just kind of want to get a feel. I mean, what's up?
Like overall as a concept?
Yeah, it's a concept and kind of how it's been applied. Because, I mean, I'll kind of give you just my high-level take before I circle back. You know, listen, I'm always pro-player when it comes to the ability to transfer, right? But, I mean, I just take a look at some of the numbers. And dude, 3,500 kids football in the portal. I haven't seen what that number is in basketball.
Like 1,500?
There are only so many scholarships in so many spots, man. And that's, listen, I before we get into, you know, the NCAA and the guardrails and the windows, I'm not even talking, we can come to that for another day. Just your overall thoughts on like the portal. And I guess, do you think kids are really using it efficiently, man? Because when I see football players who transfer in, and I tweeted this out the other day, a kid who signs with a program, whether a transfer, Keenan, or even a true freshman, who signs with the program and comes in January and they're out in April, and people say,
the
like,
best
yo,
scam of all time, dude.
They say, yo, the NIL money wasn't right. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm sure that it probably is true.
Yeah.
But like, yo, you got to think you're playing, you know, just freaking, you know, musical chairs with not just your career, man, but like your education. And then that's probably this, and I'll get off my soapbox after this and allow you to come respond. This probably comes from my experience as just covering teams, beat writer, especially at the lower levels. I would see these kids, you know, like I'm going to hit the portal, and they'd get filled, you know, some, you know, fly by night agent would fill their heads up with the idea of getting 50K, 70K, 75K, 100K. And I'm like, yo, that money, even if you get it, you'll make that money 10 times over if you make connections at whatever school you're at and you stay for 4 years. Or if you don't get it, you're ass out and you're going back to your hometown. So
yeah,
kind of your overall thoughts. This is a concept, man, on the portal.
Yeah. Well, there's a decent example of like, what are you doing is dudes transferring from Harvard.
Yeah, I did see it. And then he did it.
But Malik right? Mack at least portaled to Georgetown. So it's not like a massive step down or anything. And he's probably going to play in the NBA. So he'll probably be fine. But
right.
Yeah, he like balled out at Harvard last year, which was like the biggest flex of all time. Like, are you kidding me? You went to Malik Mack is his name. He's this like 6'1", speedy point guard who can just shoot the hell out of the ball, attack the rack. He's so much fun. He's going to be a sensation this year. I'm calling it now. Because he basically was last year, but he really will be on the D1, the Big East, man. That's a big stage for a guy like that. As a concept, I think the portal has some ups and downs. I'm obviously pro player as well, because coaches do that shit all the time.
Right.
But like, a lot of the numbers that you're hearing are BS. Like, they're just not true. There's no way Arkansas is paying. They have a $7 million NIL thing. There's no way they're giving every guy on the team $2 to $10 million. Like, they're saying insane numbers that there's just no way are true. I know Jerry Jones was like, we'll double it or whatever. It's like, that's not true either. I'm not saying Arkansas doesn't have deep pockets. Absolutely, they do. They have the deepest, the pockets can get. The Tyson money, the Jones money. The Walmart family. I mean, I don't know if they aren't the Waltons from Arkansas too.
They are. Yes.
Shoot, that's a lot of money, dude. So yeah, nothing against Arkansas. I'm not like a hater of their program really or anything. I'm just like I'm kind of a I'll believe it when I see it with Calipari at this point kind of guy. So I think the portal has kind of leveled the playing field more than people thought in basketball, at least, right? Like, that's why you saw so many of these upsets in recent years, like more so than typically, I think, is that, I mean, Florida Atlantic and San Diego State were two of the Final Four teams last year. You know what I mean? Right. Like, because they had Nellie Davis, and then San Diego State had Jaden Ledee and like all those, like they were so good. It's just interesting that it sort of levels the playing field, but I feel like it's the opposite in football, man. I feel like it really kills football. I feel like it really kills your program in football. I feel like basketball, it's not nearly as consequential. I mean, it is, but it's not like going to destroy your program. But like, dude, if you're, I don't know, I don't want to call out anybody in specific, but if you're like a G5 school, man, and you're a middle linebacker and you get 120 tackles and your first team all, you know, CUSA, somebody's going to give you $1 million. Like, somebody's going to be like, here's $1 million. Just going to play at LSU. And he's going to take it, because why wouldn't you? Right. So I feel like it's really detrimental in football, and there should be some kind of intervention there, but I just don't think it's nearly as bad in basketball really. Cause it's like musical chairs at this point, man.
I mean, listen, and you would be probably more well-versed to speak to it in basketball, because I think, in my opinion, yeah, you're going to have kids who don't end up finding spots, right? But it feels to me like the majority of the kids in basketball who end up hitting the portal, they don't go with the no contact tag, but there are a few more reassurances that they're going to land somewhere, right? It feels to me like you either have kids who they're returning back to, you know, their home areas, like some of the kids at Texas gets, or they're making the leap up, right? And there's a spot that's desired for them. But in football, and you're right, you know, like, look, let's use Trey Moore as an example.
Yeah.
I'm sure Trey Moore got a pretty nice NIL deal to come to Texas. And that's even coming from UTSA, where they're trying to build their own little, you know, NIL program. But obviously, it's not going to compare to what you've got.
Sure, yeah.
Here at Texas. But my thing is this, and like I said, the reason why I just was as curious as a concept is I've said this in other forums, and I can't say this enough. And listen, this is the benefit of us. You know, I'm almost 33. You're 30.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
A little bit of lived experience. I use the Brock Cunningham example. And granted, Brock is a kid who's from Austin, right?
Right.
But that Brock might play, and I know he wants to go play in Australia or, you know, wherever. Brock might play a handful of years professionally wherever and then come back home. And
Masters.
And he can be the color commentator for Texas. Or he can be, you know, Brock Cunningham Toyota, right? Like, my point is, some of these kids, and I'm even saying at the Power Five level, right, who bounce around from spot to spot to spot, like, the value in being that gritty guy who just gets a name in whatever community you play in, you're going to make that, let's call it $250,000. Like, you're going to make that money 10 times over, provided you don't get in journalism.
Outside of that,
like, I mean,
hey,
yeah. But I was
so true.
Like, yeah. I mean, I haven't quite made $250,000 in my lifetime, but, knock on wood, you know, Paramount, CBS employs
not me. Not in writing.
Exactly. Knock on wood, Paramount and Horns 24/7 employs me for a few more years. I might get there. But, like, if you go in any regular business, you're going to make that money at some point, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, just bouncing around, that kind of kills me. But hey, you know, listen, to the kids who have left Texas, at least, you know, and Jeff and Jordan were talking about a little bit before, some of them have found spots, some of them haven't, right? I do think most of those kids will end up finding spots. Even what Jeff was talking about, like a Savion Redd ending up at SMU or North Texas.
He's going to dominate at SMU. God, what?
I know North Texas, like, they run the ball a fair amount there. They need a running back because they've
a baller, dude. I think
Savion Redd.
I think he will be at that level. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be a monster. He's so big.
He's got to shed some of that weight, though, man. Like, that 241 was kind of, because remember, that dude started out as a receiver.
Oh, he was 240 this year.
Yeah. Well, that's when he came into spring camp at 240.
Wow. That's pretty.
And he started out as a receiver. So, like, he's got to shed a little bit of that weight. Yeah. But no,
he should be a tight end or something.
I mean, he'll be all right.
I feel like he's a good enough athlete to just do whatever.
No, most definitely. But, man, before we get out of here, we got 10 minutes left. Definitely got to get into some NFL draft talk because for all of that conversation we had about transfer portal and kids, you know, doing whatever it takes to get to the next level, you got a big slate of Longhorns who, quite frankly, are going to reach that level. They're going to have their dreams come true. Their names are going to be called. Let's talk about it. Yesterday, I said I had three Longhorns going in the first round tonight. Xavier Worthy, A.D. Mitchell, Byron Murphy, actually in reverse order. Byron Murphy first. I think A.D. will be the first receiver taken and Xavier
Worthy.
Yeah,
I do too.
But,
I think so
too. Hey, do you want to put a number on it and just kind of, you know, your thoughts on the first round and which Longhorns you think might have a spot?
Yeah, and then I'll give like a quick Cowboys thought as well.
Absolutely.
But for the Longhorns, you know, Nick Harris yesterday said Byron Murphy might go top 10, dude.
I agree.
Like, he's a beast. He's like one of those smaller but just incredibly strong defensive tackle. Like you said, Aaron Donald, like, can jump out of a pool. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of strength. Like he, you know, he's not as big as Tavondre Sweat, obviously, but he's just so – he's, like, explosive for a tackle. You know what I mean? That's what I gathered from watching him anyway. I mean, you'd know more than I do. But he's really fun to watch. Adonai Mitchell is one of my favorite – 1 year Longhorns maybe ever, man. It's like him and Serge Ibarra Rice are like my two favorite 1 year Longhorns maybe. And he's just a great dude. I don't know if you saw that video from Longhorn Network about him and his daughter. Yes. That was just like, I like almost cried. It was like so touching. So I'm rooting for him, obviously. And the Georgia fans even love him still. All the Georgia fans are still like rooting for him and tweeting like, love you, man, Adam, which is really cool. Like he did it right. He transferred the right way, I think. He didn't like bounce off a team that was like desperate for him, but like he didn't trash anybody on the way out either. Like that's what they were so mad about Jermaine Burton for doing. He was like, He like trashed Georgia on his way. Like why you would do that is beyond me. But yeah, man, it's going to be really cool to see some of these Longhorns get drafted tonight. I think Devondre Sweat's probably a third rounder, maybe fourth now because of the Dwee. But I don't know if anybody else really springs to mind as guys that are for sure. Who do you think is like for sure a Longhorn that's going to get drafted at some point this weekend?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll give you all the guys I think are for sure.
Yeah, go for it.
Byron Murphy, Devondre Sweat, A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, Christian Jones. Again, I talked about this the other day, the fact that he's been rising up charts. Could have never predicted a couple of years ago him being
crazy come up, dude.
Possibly in the third round. And the thing is funny about Christian is
crazy.
When you look at him, he's got all the measurables of a tackle. You know, big dude, long arms, athletic. So we'll see what happens. But Christian for sure.
Awesome.
When you go from there, then I think it does get a little bit, well, Jonathan Brooks. I mean, can't forget Jonathan Brooks.
Oh, yeah, Brooks.
It's going to be drafted. So, I mean,
he might be a first round. No, the knee injury.
Yeah. I think Jonathan Brooks is going to be a second round pick. I think it's clear that he's the best running back. That's my opinion.
Him and Benson, I think, are the two best right now.
Yeah. And
although again, I think the Notre Dame dude's pretty underrated too.
No, you're not wrong. But again, I'm not going to hold a knee against JB. I think if the knee was a factor, you're talking about far and away the best back in the draft. Jalen Ford. I think Jalen Ford is a seventh round guy.
Oh, okay.
Possibly. Ryan Watts, that one. Listen, 6'3 corners don't really grow on trees. Ryan's an athletic guy. I think is Ryan Watts ever going to be a 10-year starter at corner in the NFL? Probably not. But I see him as a guy who can play a role in the secondary, maybe even play a little safety because of his size, and also provide value on special teams.
Yeah.
So those are the guys I think are Jalen is what I'm iffy on. And I'm a big Jalen Ford fan. I mean,
He's undersized? What?
Not undersized as much as he has two knocks against him. One, he didn't have the year in 2023 that he probably would have liked, that a year that he had in 2022. And I'm sure the easiest take for anyone kind of viewing Jalen Ford as a player is, oh, well, he played and he had Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy in front of him as defensive tackles. So, of course, that guy is not someone who necessarily, you know, he's not having to make a ton of plays because of the level of defensive tackles. But to an extent, man, like I'll give you a guy who kind of, I'm not saying they're the same player, but if you look at Devin White over in Tampa, the Bucs linebacker, Devin White's a guy who was a top 10 pick, came out first 2 years, was great, but then he fell off, and that's a direct reflection of the defensive tackle play in front of him. They have a great DT in Vita Vea who's there. But, I mean, I'm only saying this to say a lot of linebackers, in a sense, can get made by the front four in front of them, you know? So that's
interesting.
That's kind of my thing there. And last, I'll look at, you know, like Keelan Robinson. I don't think Keelan's going to get drafted. But I definitely think he lands a spot and makes a team. The two guys who are probably most iffy, I hope Jordan Whittington gets drafted, Keenan. I really do. And that's probably just because, you know, you like that.
He's like the best guy ever. Yeah, he's such a great dude. He's such a Longhorn, too.
When Jay Witt talked about the fact that he, you know, like had almost considered quitting football, and Sark and Keenan, you'll appreciate this as a basketball guy, Sark said to him, and it's so true, man, like, football players, once you're done playing football, you're not putting on a set of pads anymore. Never. And you're not going up to the park and playing tackle football.
Nope.
Right? Like, if you hoop, okay, let's say one day you hang up the jersey, you could always go to the court, to the park and go hoop, right? Like, once you stop playing football, you're done, right? Like, that's
it's over.
So for Sark, you know, to give Jordan Whittington kind of that perspective, like, yo, you You can't just go play pickup football. Like if you leave this now, it's over. So I really hope I think he could be a late seventh round guy if someone really appreciates kind of what he brings. But with that being said, once you get into that part of the draft, it's almost better to choose your spot and be an undrafted free agent as opposed to getting picked in that seventh round. So that's kind of how I see it, man. Any thoughts on
is there like a difference? Guys? Sorry.
No. Go ahead.
Is there a difference in like structuring of contracts between a guy that's drafted in the seventh round and undrafted free agent, or is it like exactly the same?
The biggest difference,
I would think, like getting drafted. I mean, I know there's no guarantees, which
right.
that is a whole nother thing that we'll get into at some other point.
Yeah, the biggest crap. The biggest difference in structure, and to be honest with you, it's why you almost rather prefer to be a UDFA. Yeah. Is how can I say this? The competition for, let's use a Jordan Winton for example, right? There might be six teams in those final, you know, because you include compensatory picks.
Yeah.
35, 40 picks of the seventh round. There might be six that really think like, all right, this is a guy who fits based on the board. But as soon as that draft ends, Jordan Winnington's going to go and be like, all right, there are going to be 25 teams who are competing to bring him in.
Right.
And the signing bonuses, quite frankly, for a lot of these, and I know this having covered group of five schools, some of the signing bonuses for some of these UDFAs, I'll give, I don't know, you know, just Keenan, like how much of an NFL guy you are.
I know a decent amount, yeah.
But there's a guy, Reed Blankenship, safety for the Eagles, who actually has blossomed into a rotational guy / starter who I covered. He played at Middle Tennessee State.
Oh, okay.
Reed, I think he got something like $125,000, $145,000 signing bonus as an undrafted free agent.
Nice.
Probably wouldn't have gotten that had someone taken him in the seventh round, right? So that's kind of the difference there. Really quick, before I finish, did you want to make that Cowboys point?
Oh, yeah, about who I think they should take. One of my best friends, shout out Braxton, just texted me and said, should the Cowboys make a splash and draft Penix? A, he's not going to be there. B, I would love that. I'm not going to lie, dude. I love Dak, but I think it's time to like kind of move on maybe, or like at least bring somebody else in, because Trey Lance ain't it. I'm sorry. No offense. But and like Dak's done a great – he is a great player, man. He did a lot for the Cowboys. But, you know, if you don't draft a quarterback, draft a tackle or draft Brian Thomas if he's there, because I've heard that he might be there around the 24th pick. And if he's there, you got to take him, because that guy is really underrated in my book. I always thought he was really good at LSU.
I mean, what's Dak? 30,
32? I think he's my age exactly. So I think he's 30. I think he's
I gotta look that up really
two quick. Grades above me. I think he maybe he's your age.
Dak Prescott was born, Dakota Rain, or Rain Dakota, excuse me. Was born July 29th, 1993. He's 30.
That's
years
right.
Old.
We're the same grade. We're the same age. He's 30, but he's beaten up, dude.
All right. I mean, listen, I'm a Dak guy, and I'm not.
I am too. I am too. Yeah. I just like maybe draft somebody to bring up under him. Maybe not replace him. I don't even need them to replace him. I just need them to like get their wheels turned on maybe somebody else, if you know, for whatever reason. I don't know. I just think like you're. Dak is not the problem in Dallas, I don't think. Right. I think Mike McCarthy is the problem, to be perfectly real with you. And I think Jerry Jones should just turn to the West and just buy Kyle Shanahan from the Niners.
I wouldn't be mad at that either.
I love that. Oh, my God.
What I was going to say, as Josh really quick hops up in the chat and says, Bob
Those
Dip, you're all good. Okay. Yo, hey, to all y'all, I'm going to go to Matt's old ranch. I'm going to try these and we're going to see what's up. But here's the thing in my mind. Listen, you know how it is, especially in that market in Dallas. If you draft a Michael Penix Jr., as Jack says, Jerry is the problem in all caps.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's the ownership, man. It sucks.
If you draft a Michael Penix Jr., you have always created the situation here at Texas with Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning. The second anything goes wrong, the entire fan base is going to be screaming for Michael Penix Jr. So that's why if it's me, first off, I think Dak being 30, you know, I wouldn't want to move off, because this is how I kind of view quarterbacks, as I will bring the guys on here in a second.
Yeah.
How I view quarterbacks. You either have a guy, and there's like eight or nine of those guys who you think can win you a championship. Everyone else is just a placeholder. And Dak, to me, is one of those guys. So that's kind of where I land on that.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. I mean, Dak is, he's better than most guys. And, like, it's hard to find a guy that's as good as him. There's not that many guys that are better than him, really.
So I'm going to bring the guys in here. Of course, Zay, bring in, of course, my guy. I'm sure Chip Brown wasn't listening and didn't catch that that pot shot that I threw at both him and Jeff Howe earlier today. So Chip
will have to. You better watch these pot shots there. Shoulders.
Why? What are you going to do? Fight him? Look at his muscles, dude.
I know. What's with the shoulders now? We got it's like flash dance going on.
Flash dance?
That's, you know, between flash dance
and that off the shoulder look thing, you know?
An unnamed member of the Texas media who accused me of being a shirtless Justin Timberlake fan. I might have to come, you know, like handle that. Here's the deal, Chip. As I said, now that I'm doing 12-to-1s and shout out to BK Texas Sports Unfiltered for the opportunity, I'm racing right from here to the gym. So I got to make sure I'm right. So that's
okay. All right. So we might see you like doing up downs,
all of that.
Thigh master, anything going on during your show?
Zay, this is the thigh master. Thigh master, Chip is killing you over here, man.
R.I.P. Suzanne Summers.
hey, yo, Chip. Eric came like this on Monday, filling in for you. He jumped on looking like Billy Blanks, Tybo Dave, man.
Tybo, baby.
Looking right. Beat the hell out of somebody.
We're going to go ahead and pass it over to the fellas. We'll say this. Thank y'all for rocking with us. Tomorrow, we're going to talk a little bit. Has Tory Becton hired Eric CP? Now, Tory Becton has not hired me. Go ahead, Chip.
Maybe that will be a headline here soon.
Yeah, Sark would have an issue if I was sitting there placing there. I think I'd be a well-placed source. But we're going to talk, obviously, recap the draft. We're going to talk a little Texas baseball, all things UT tomorrow. Keenan, appreciate you rocking with me another day. Fellas, it is all yours.